Good morning, everyone. Welcome into the Risen service today. I suspect you're in for something great today. I feel the power of the Holy Spirit already. He has dropped a couple words in my mouth today, and I pray that I'm able to give them to you. So lend an ear, get a pen and paper, and write it down. This is an important word. I've already heard confirmation from another pastor that has preached one service already today, and it all flows together. So God is speaking to the church today, a very important word. Father, we thank you for your ever-caring, ever-loving heart, Father, that you prepare us and you have given us everything we need to be the women and men of God that you called us to be. We thank you, Lord, that you've left nothing out. You didn't leave us orphans. You didn't leave us without the ability to be victorious in our lives, Lord. That you give us the power and authority to govern in this world. Not only in this time, Lord, and for the future, Lord, we will be governors with you. Father, we thank you, Lord, for all that has been given us through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, through his life, his death, his resurrection. We thank you for the Holy Spirit that you have sent to us, Lord, to not just be with us, but to indwell within us, Lord Jesus. I pray, Father, that this vessel would surrender all to you, Lord. I submit myself to you. Let your words be my words. Let your thoughts be my thoughts. Let nothing of me remain, but only what you want said, Lord. Let it come forth. Let it be done. Holy Spirit, you have full control in this situation. You have full control today in this service, in both these services. Come and indwell this place. Baptize us with the fire of the Holy Spirit. You heal, you save, you do, Holy Spirit, what you are called to do, Lord. Let us just be your humble servants in all this. Enemy of ours, you have no place here. In the name of Jesus, I command you to leave. Let everything be done to edify and glory the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. So the title of the sermon today is the I Have Mindset. I have mindset. And I want to teach you how to be victorious in your life. He has not left us without what we need at all. He has given us everything we need to be victorious in this life and in the life to come. Last week, I was listening to one of the pastors that I sometimes listen to, Pastor Tim Sheets. I think his church is Oasis Church there in Ohio somewhere. And he talked about we can't lose. We can't lose. And he was encouraging the church to step out in faith and be what we had been called to be. He even said at one point that we need to learn to govern in this life. And that, of course, sparked this message. So I've been working on, God's been dealing with me all week. He didn't give me the title till Wednesday night. I'm sitting in church, and a lot of times pastor will be teaching, and things come to my mind, and I just have to type it or write it down. So excuse me if you see me do that, pastor. It's usually the Holy Spirit speaking. But he gave me the title, the I Have Mindset, Wednesday night during church. You've got to always be listening for the Holy Spirit. God's always speaking to you. You've just got to tune in and listen. And he discussed about the early church and how they governed the earth while they were here. Those men and women of God that we read about in our Bibles, what was so different about them that's different about us? And I'll give you the answer God gave me at the end of this service. But govern means to, it's defined as having authority to conduct the policy, the actions, and the affairs of a state, an organization, or a people. Let's put that in kingdom. In our case, we are called to conduct kingdom business. What is the kingdom business? We'll read about it, but it will just tell you. Spreading the good news of Jesus. Making disciples without the hindrance of the enemy. You know, he's not supposed to hinder you. Let the storms come. let the floods rush in, but the fire that is within you should be burning regardless. Jesus commanded the disciples before his ascension in Mark 16, 15 and 18, and we'll look at Matthew 28, 18 and 20, and I'm going to go quickly because I have a lot to go through and just write them down and read them later, but I'm going to read them for you. I'm doing the work today. It says, and he said to them, go into all the world, and preach the gospel to every creature. Have y'all met a few creatures? I have. They not like us. Okay, that's a reference. Sorry, I had to throw that in there. That is not in my notes. They not like us. And you'll know them when you see them and when you talk to them. Don't take long to figure out which kingdom they're in. He who believes and is baptized will be saved. But he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow those who believe. This is what you should look like, because this is what you have. They will take up in my name, Jesus said. They will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents. And if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. And they will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. That's what you have. That's what I have. That should be your mindset. This is what he commanded me to do, and he didn't leave me without the power and authority to do it. I have the ability to do these things in his name. It's an I have mindset. Don't let the enemy shake you, because you have it, child of God. Matthew 28 and 18 through 20. We use this. This is part of the church of God. The way they believe and the way as a Pentecostal I was brought up as well. It says, and Jesus came and spoke to them saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. That was the mindset that he gave his disciples before he ascended. Those are the instructions that he gave them. You follow what I have done, what you have seen me do, what you've seen me be, you be that as well. And then you go out and you help others be that way. We must have this mindset, as the disciples did. And they, of course, followed the example Jesus had given them with the leading of the Holy Spirit. Why is it important that I be able to reign and rule and govern spiritually in this life? Revelations 20 and 4. And I saw thrones, and they sat on them, and judgment was committed to them. Then I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded for their witness to Jesus and for the word of God, who had not worshipped the beast or his image and had not received his mark on their foreheads and or on their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. How can we expect to be part of that if we can't even do it now? How can you be a governor in your own life and in this world spiritually and reign according to Jesus Christ and the leading of the Holy Spirit and defeat the devil if we can't overcome our flesh, if we can't put our flesh down, if we can't tell the enemy where his place is, which is behind me and away from me, never before me, never beside me, never over me, how can you expect to reign with Christ if you can't even do it now? What's your mindset? Is it the I have mindset? Or is the enemy taking that from you? And you was like, well, I wish I could. Or sister so-and-so's got it. I just can't be like that. No, you are called to have the I have mindset. You are called to cast out the demons, to raise the dead. You are called to rule and reign in this earth and govern according to his kingdom as you walk each and every day. He doesn't have the power over you. The enemy doesn't. Too many Christians, and I use that word loosely, are walking around defeated. But that is not the life that we see exemplified in the Bible. Did Paul walk around defeated? No. Sister Larissa talked about him last week. He has a wonderful example of what the power of God will do for you. He went back and preached Jesus Christ after he had been the one persecuting the people in the way who were teaching Jesus Christ, because he had an encounter with Jesus. Ananias was a Christian hiding from him. He knew Jesus. God came to him and said, go and pray for Brother Paul, called him Brother Paul. He said, I know this man. Are you crazy? He's putting him in. He's killing the Christians. He said, go and pray for him because I have things for him to do. He's going to suffer for my name. But it started with Ananias being obedient to the leading of the Holy Spirit. Christ didn't die for us to have weak lives. He didn't die for you to be blown about by every wind the enemy brings in your life, every storm. It's not supposed to sink you. You are above that. The little saying on Facebook says, I have a lifeguard who walks on the water. And baby Paul did too. Or Peter did too. I can walk on water. If God so wills it spiritually, I should be doing that every day. Because some of the stuff that you were getting exposed to, oh my gosh. How can you reign in this life and expect to reign in the next? He lived, he died, he rose from death so that he has returned our dominion and authority. But few live this life. They allow their flesh, not even the enemy, they allow their flesh to go and be a priority of their life. The enemy don't even get a chance to, he just puts the temptation out there sometimes. In halftime, he don't even have to do that. We'll get caught up in our own stuff. The first lie the enemy tells you is you are powerless. That is a lie from the pit of hell. Read the whole book of the New Testament. You can see the power the church walked in. To be victorious, we must think of ourselves as winners. The Bible says overcomers. So you're going to go through some stuff. You're going to have to walk through some paths. You're going to have some water come through. But you are an overcomer. Actually, it says you are more than an overcomer. More than an overcomer. That's not only do I have victory, but baby, I'm taking the spoils with me too. I'm just not going to change my life. I'm changing the lives of everybody I touch. I am more than an overcomer. This is the mindset of the Christians of the Bible. The disciples, the first church, the early church, they say, they believed they were no longer slaves and thus free to move in victory and spread the good news despite opposition. And they were opposed. They were being martyred for the word. Ephesians 1 and 7 says, in him we have redemption through his blood. The forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, not your grace. His grace. In him, we have redemption. The first thing the devil tries to tell you is your sins are just too great. Remember what you did? Remember how you used to be? Remember all the harm and hurt that you caused? He wants to keep you down. But in him we have redemption through his blood. Notice when Paul's writing, this is a made up mind. We have. I have. This is no guessing, no doubting. This is what it is. Through his blood, we have forgiveness. The enemy wants you to believe that you are beyond God's help, even after salvation. And that the blood of Jesus Christ was not enough to cover your sin. But the scriptures defeat that lie. We have been forgiven and redeemed. We are new and the power and have the power through his blood. Romans 6, 5 through 7. For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, and that we should no longer be slaves of sin. For he who has died has been freed from sin. Once you die to it, it's gone. Notice it says that we should no longer. You have free will. You have choice. Do you have the I have mindset? Or the maybe one day? Maybe right now? Later? Maybe not at all? Romans 6 and 14, New King James Version says, for sin shall not have dominion over you. That is, I have. It does not have dominion over you. Unless you allow it. I have dominion. If you walk as the I have dominion, it can't come. It can't take you. You put it in its place. And then it says, for you are not under law, but under grace. Grace is God's love and his favor, which was given freely. You cannot earn it. Revelations 12 and 11, this is one of my favorite verses. It says, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives unto death. Do you have this mindset? We are to rule our bodies, our flesh, and we're to rule over this world. Nothing in your flesh nor in the world, naturally or spiritually, has authority over you. If you don't give it authority, are you the governor or are you still the slave? You have the ability, the authority. You have the power through Jesus Christ. But you have to have the I have mindset to be victorious and reign. The mindset of the victorious one who reigns. Ephesians 1, 13 through 14. In him you also trusted, after you heard the word of the truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance unto the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of his glory. You have been sealed. He can't unseal you. He can't remove it from you, the enemy. Only you can do that. Are you sealed? Child of God, you are. In Revelations 20, which we read, we see the saints reigned with Jesus for 1,000 years. They call it the millennial reign. But how can we do this if we are not able to reign now? You must have this governing mind over your flesh and over the enemy. God has given you everything you need to do this when he gave us the Holy Spirit. But we must submit to the Holy Spirit as Jesus instructed. In Acts chapter 1, verses 8, he's resurrected. He's not resurrected, but he's telling the disciples to wait in Jerusalem. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, in all Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Power. That word, as Pastor talked about last week, is dunamis. What does that mean? It's a miraculous power. It's the power within itself to cause miracles to happen. Even one meaning says that it is the abundant might. It's a power, a strength, a violence, a might. It's where we get the word dynamite. It's that kind of power. It's the kind of power that you saw Saul become Paul. It's the power that it gives you the ability to walk into situations and things and have the victory. Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high. Luke 29:49. He's instructing his disciples again, keep here until the power comes. Evidence of the Holy Spirit, Acts 2:4. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, talking about the day of Pentecost, we call it, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. That was evidence. The wind blew, the cloven tongues came down and lit upon them, and they began to speak in other languages. Actually, there were people not in the room when they went out, heard their own language being spoken by people who did not know that language. And Peter comes out and thousands are converted. That's the power of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It gives you this boldness to be like Christ. It gives you the ability to overcome anything and everything the enemy throws at you. To be able to think, to live, to witness, to confront the enemy and defeat him. To heal the sick, to cast out demons, to raise the dead, command the earth in the name of Jesus. This is what governing looks like. Does our lives look like that? Or do you get up on Monday morning with a sorry, sad story because of what you're going to walk into at work, because of what you have to face this week? That is not a governed mindset, is it? That is not the I have mindset. This, everything I've talked about, this is your inheritance as a child of God. It's all yours. It's the I have all this mindset that we should be attaching to, speaking the life over our lives and not allow the enemy to come in. 2 Peter 1:3-4, as his divine power has given to us all things, not just some, that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue, by which has been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature. Divine nature, not just your own. It's the divine. Who's the divine? It's his nature. It's God's nature. Having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. The I have mindset the early church had is the mindset we too should have. His divine power has given us all the things we need for life and godliness. He has equipped us with all we need to stand, and not just stand, but to stand and be victorious over the enemy and to govern in this life. Ephesians 6:10-13. Finally, my brothers, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. If you're doing it in your own self, he's going to devour you. The enemy will. But when you stand in the power of his might, put on the whole armor of God, it says, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. That's 2 Timothy 1:7. What do you have? What has he given you? He's given me power. He's given me love. He's given me soundness of mind. That means I have understanding and judgment if I choose to use it. You have all these things. The I have mindset. So when the enemy comes with his little frivolous temptations, when the flesh rises up in anger or disagreement, whatever it may be, which one are you going to choose? Which mindset are you going to choose? Fear? Disbelief? Lack of faith? Are you going to stand and say, I have not been given the spirit of fear, but I have power, and I command you in the name of Jesus, whatever the situation may be. We see the promises, another promise to take hold of and strengthen us with the I have mindset. No fear, just power, love, and soundness of mind. Notice we have power here. This word again is dunamis. Dunamis, that's that dynamite, miraculous, the ability to raise the dead, to heal the sick in the name of Jesus, to cast out demons in the name of Jesus. We see love. It's his love. Thank God it's not my love. It's his love, which is never failing, unchanging, eternal, always for my good, so I too can love and have soundness of mind. What does that mean? That is self-control. That speaks to the ability to not be caught up in all the distractions and the hype of the enemy, which comes in many forms, many words, and actions of the enemy and those who are submitted to him. He gives us the ability to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. That's dominion. Dominion. All, as I compare the early church to the current church, this is what I see. They were all baptized with the Holy Spirit. Constantly, you see, Paul is traveling and he meets some Christians. He said, have you received the Holy Spirit? And they said, we don't even know about it. He said, come here and let me pray for you. They received the Holy Spirit, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, which is what Jesus commanded them to wait upon in Acts 1. It empowers them to be the witnesses and to do action, to be what they are called to be. What they are called to be is to be the martyrs, the witnesses, the record of what God has done for him. So this is what I see is missing from our church today. Today we have Christians who are not baptized in the Holy Spirit. And did you notice Jesus called it power? And we have very few which have the mindset of Jesus. Those are the two things missing in the church today. We have a lot of people who want to be Christians, but they don't want to be disciples. There's a difference between a disciple and a Christian. Christian just came to church. Put my check mark for the week. I went to church. They may come down here, hoop, holler, and cry. And they go by right out that door and fall into the same sin they were in before they came here. Disciples are the ones who follow Christ. They live with him. They took bread with him. They watched him perform miracles. They changed their lives because of his teaching. Are you a disciple or just a Christian? They walked in the power which was sent by the Father to be our comforter, our helper, our guide, our teacher, our strength. And in this John 14:16-18 says, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, the New King James Version says, that he may abide with you forever, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. John 14:26 in the King James Version says, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. John 16:13-14, however, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truths. For he will not speak of his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. He will glorify me, and he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. I have found that most Christians today refuse the Holy Spirit. They want him to be the comforter. Yeah, comfort me when I'm sorry. They want him to be the helper. Yes, help me when I need my help. But they definitely don't want him to have any authority in their lives. They don't want him to guide them into the truth. Oh, I don't want any of that. I don't want to change who I am, what I've been doing. And my friend, you're not walking in the power of the Holy Spirit if you're doing that. Enemy will come to you and he'll devour you because you don't have a leg to stand on. I don't care how much singing you do, how much crying at the altar. If you don't have the ability to submit to the Holy Spirit, the enemy is going to have his way with you. They refuse to yield themselves to him. And you cannot be baptized without a surrender of mind, body, and spirit. Actually, Ephesians 4 says that you can grieve the Holy Spirit, and this is exactly what you're doing. It says that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. That whole chapter talks about what you shouldn't be doing. And then it says, don't grieve the Holy Spirit. I have found out all these things grieve the Holy Spirit. What's the second day thing that the church lacks is the mind of Christ. The mind of Christ, as described in 2 Philippians 2 and 5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God did not consider robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of man, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. This made-up mind was determined to finish the mission which God had given him without regard to his own self. Not to bring any glory to himself, but in total submission to the will of the Father. What is the mind of Christ? It's humility and obedience to the will of God. It's a surrender of your body, of your mind. It says, remember Romans 12 and 1, I beseech you therefore, brother, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God. That's the only thing he's going to accept, a sacrifice and a holy one. You can't come in here and sing the praises of God and go out there and live the life that you want. You are not holy. And it is not an acceptable sacrifice, which is your reasonable service. That's the least you can do. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Do you have the mind of Christ? We lack those two things in the church world today. No one wants the power of the Holy Spirit because they don't want to change who they are. They don't want to let him have the ability to control and to lead them into the truth. It's not even control. It's just leading you into truth. It's just guiding you. He doesn't pull you. He simply points out, actually the Bible says he points out the sin in the world, my translation. And he's going to do the same to you. And that's why no one wants to have the power of the Holy Spirit. They don't want baptism of the Holy Spirit. Because I found out when you have that, you can't go and do what you want to do. You can't say and act the way that you want to act. Do you know I get up every Sunday and ask God, or actually I asked him a couple days in advance, how do you want me to dress? How do you want, what do you, so you see me seeing, wearing the same stuff over and over, I'm just doing what God told me to do. I cannot just go out and wear one. I looked at a dress yesterday, beautiful dress, but it was a little sheer in this one area, and I'm still talking to God whether or not I'm supposed to wear that thing. I'm telling you, he gets into everything. I cannot sit on this platform. I cannot. My husband was like, you know, I hear it. He knows I love breakfast. I'm a country girl. I like a good breakfast, man. Give me some bacon, some ham, some eggs and biscuits and gravy. He says, you know, I hear Red Mile has one of those? Kingland has a great breakfast. And I was like, I can't even go there. I don't care. I don't want people to think that I'm support even that. I can't even go to the movie. I can't listen to certain things. I can't watch certain things. But it's because I choose to be a vessel of God. And I know how important that is to me. I want to do his will. I would like to pack up and move to my children where they live. But God has not opened that door yet. So here I am still. I will end with Proverbs 4 and 7. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. And all you're getting, get an understanding. What does understanding mean? It's the ability to comprehend and apply knowledge and wisdom in accordance with God's will. You ever met a person that was very book smart? But they didn't have no common sense. They have no understanding. They may have wisdom. We get that from the Word of God. We get that from the leading and guiding of the Holy Spirit. If you don't have the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the time is now. The Holy Spirit is about to be poured out. We're going to have men and women coming in groves to be taught because they're hungry for the Word of God. And if you can't stand up here with a holy life, you're not going to be standing up here. The Spirit's going to reveal it. And God will not allow it. Get the mind of Christ. Submit. Be obedient. Change who you are. He's already made you new. But you've got to choose to be new. Father, we thank you for your words, for your wonderful understanding of everything. We thank you, Lord, that you